Jason Knows, episode 24.
Hi, we're Love Spirals.
Yeah, I'm Andy.
And I'm Ryan.
We're Love Spirals.
And you're listening to
Jason Knows.
And you're listening to
Jason Knows.
Yes, I am the luckiest man on the planet. Well, I'm one of the luckiest men on the planet, or maybe one of the luckiest people on the planet. I don't know if Amphibiites have started podcasting yet, but once they do, they will be as good as me. Because I get to make a podcast. And I get to share that podcast with the world. And everybody gets to hear the music that I'm listening to. They just got to tune in. And you've tuned in to the Jason Knows podcast. So thank you so much for taking a listen. Today we've got a Love Spirals exclusive. It's a Love Spirals Extreme. We're going to be listening to interviews with Angie B and Ryan. We've also got some demos of some songs that they've released, and I've actually cut them with the actual song, so you get to hear the demo and then the actual release product, all in the same shebang. And I know how everybody likes to shebang. So check out Jason Knows podcast episode 24. You are going to be deep thick in it. And if you are awfully good, I will be playing a special track of Love Spirals at the Blue Cafe in Long Beach, the world-renowned Blue Cafe in Long Beach, where Love Spirals made their first appearance in Long Beach. So I hope you will stick around, check it out. You are listening to a track called Monkey Bars that is a Jason Knows exclusive. And this is a Love Spirals Extreme, a Love Spirals Special, a Love Spirals Home Makeover Edition. So strap yourselves in, get ready to check out Jason Knows episode 24, Love Spirals, coming right up.
Talking about how you write songs?
Yeah, okay, well, you know, the process has changed a bit since 1998 when we started, but basically this is how it is, you know, he'll be playing guitar, and I'll be like, oh, I've got something, so I'll start singing it to myself a little bit, and a lot of times it'll be something I've written before, but I, you know, didn't have any music for it, I just kind of was singing at the beach or something, but sometimes I'll, for some reason, think of words when I hear the guitar. I don't know where it comes from, but so I'll start singing to myself, and then when I feel like, okay, I've kind of got it, I'll go into the room where he's playing the guitar, and if he's still playing it, I just start singing, and he'll be like, hey, what is she doing? And other times, he'll have already started doing something else, and I'm like, do what you were doing a minute ago. You know, and he'll start playing it, and then I sing along with him, and then that's when it gets fun. Like, we start jamming it, and like, start doing like long extended endings. So we can tell we have a song at this point. Like he's making up new stuff. I'm coming up with stuff. So then we get out like say our iPods, our little Griffin iMic thing on the top, and then record ourselves doing it. And by that time we're like usually super excited to try to start recording the real thing. But lately we've been kind of busy, so we have a backlog of these little iPod demos, I guess you'd call them.
Well, Angie was so good to send me a track of Abide, which is a track that they have available on CD Baby and iTunes and other places where you can buy quality music. And it's the actual demo. So we're going to listen to the demo, and then about a minute into it, we'll cut over to the actual release track. So you get to hear how the song is created and then how it gets kind of built out and how it sounds. So I hope you find this interesting, and check it out. This is Ryan right here.
Okay, this is being recorded on the shitty mic that comes with an iMac.
Pass away my love.
Switch on one of those demos and go, oh, yeah, I like that song. I did. Let's work on that a little bit more. So, you know, we'll kind of go through it and make sure that we know, like, how many times we wanted to play the music before I start singing, get it worked out. Then he'll go into his studio and actually start laying down the tracks. So let's say he'll lay down his guitar, and then he'll come up with a bass line and some rudimentary drums. And at that point, he'll invite me to come in, probably not that day, because it takes a while to get that, you know, like the next day or 2 days later. Then I'll lay down a vocal track, like the basic vocal, how we think it'll be. Then after that, anything could happen. He might start playing a different instrument, or playing like extra guitar, or start soloing, or I might start doing a secondary vocal with a harmony. And, you know, then it just gets more like, who knows what happens from there, you know, then we can start adding more stuff, subtracting stuff.
Well, I think that's really great that you guys are like so, have like that, such an organic kind of start to it.
You know,
it's like if you're not comfortable with the people that you're playing with and you don't have that basic kind of like, you know, hum a melody while somebody's playing.
Yeah,
you know, if you don't have that, then you're starting with being stifled, you know.
Exactly.
Talking about me.
Yeah, talking about the
Hey, Ryan, pleasure to meet you. I'm Jason.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for coming.
Oh, yeah.
I
thought the show was really good.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
So you were saying that you have, like, this backlog of kind of, like, iPod clips.
Oh, right now, probably, like, six songs, maybe?
Yeah, something in that ballpark.
Yeah.
It's not really a backlog. It's just I learned this thing in, like my first, like, month of college. This is a long time ago. The faintest ink is better than the strongest memory. And it stuck with me in my memory, ironically. But
he always says that when I get the thing out.
Yeah, the point is, just like, I always think when I'm playing, I'll remember tomorrow. And
yeah.
I won't. You know, or say I don't play tomorrow, too. So we just get it down, just get the basic idea down. And I heard you saying, yeah, then later on we'll go back and try to structure it and stuff like that. But yeah, I think I have like five, six songs I just got on.
Yeah.
I just don't remember.
Because the thing is, like, before we started doing this method, we wrote all kinds of songs we never recorded. We wrote lots of great songs.
I'll remember that.
Yeah, and then we don't remember it. I'll have the lyrics written down and maybe a few chord names, and I'll show, what, we never did this song. He's like, oh, yeah, whatever. If I remember, it must not be good.
But
thank God for technology.
Like the incubator, they're going to be birthed pretty soon.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I get this, I've got, you know, I kind of followed kind of what you've done in the past, and that I just have like these stacks and stacks and stacks of books that have just kind of been written and doodled and have little pieces and fragments into it over the year. And, you know, sometimes it is just like you have to do it at a very certain time or else it just doesn't happen right.
It just disappears.
Sometimes you just look at it and you're like, wow, I know that when I wrote this, I thought this was going to be really great.
Totally. I know, it's so true. I know, I think ideally that we would, you know, the time you write the song, you'd immediately start working on it, because that's like when you're so excited about it.
That's true, but then we hear the crappy iPod recording, and you hear the essence of it.
That's
and then,
true.
Then we start working up again, then you really get excited about it again, because I never had a chance to really live yet. It just kind of got thrown into the world, just barely.
Yeah. I used to use a cassette recorder before, and those recordings are so harsh, and like it's so hard to find it on the tape and everything.
The iPod recording sucks, so Apple like has its hardware limitation where you only could record a really crappy like sampling rate. They do that so they didn't want the iPod to become this tool of bootlegging. So.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess they made a wise choice, but it sucks to cripple your users.
It'd be nice if there was like a musician edition or something like that.
Yeah,
but,
really.
Well, actually there is. You can put Linux on it, and that bypasses the whole hardware crippling thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
or maybe it's software crippling. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's software crippling.
Yeah, but I'm not geeky enough to go and put Linux on my iPod.
No, not yet.
So, so what's next for you guys for the next little while?
Actually, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, we're going to be playing in Arizona.
Phoenix.
Phoenix, Arizona. So that'll be our first time playing in Phoenix together.
Yeah, some kind of big, like a art district, art walk kind of night.
Yeah, on a Friday night.
And Cinco de Mayo should be pretty crazy.
Have you ever been to Phoenix before?
Not to play, so this will be cool, yeah.
It's weird, too, because the label that he was on before, well, I guess I was on it, too, a lot of artists seem to be from that area. There's, like, a ton of people that we know in that area.
Kind of the former label mate.
Yeah, we actually are. Yeah, well, I guess it's not really his band, but he's a contributing vocalist, Mr. Meeble, which are actually pretty good. You should check them out. I think they're doing some good stuff.
Yeah, they're on MySpace and all that. Yeah.
And then playing with it's kind of a hip-hop, I'm not sure exactly what he's going to be doing, playing music live or just having live emceeing over records. It's going to be more eclectic, I think, than tonight.
Okay, so I'd like to ask you, like, how does a song start? How do you, besides... I mean, if you're playing, do you just play?
Here's what happens.
Kind
of annoys me slightly, and I emphasize this slightly, because having fun. I'll be just practicing, playing guitar, not working on anything in particular, just trying to improve my chops and just play. And then all of a sudden she'll start humming something. I'll hear her like in another room humming something.
Oh, I always wonder if you can hear me.
Yeah. And then I get mad if I change. I remember one time I yelled, no, I go, what did I do?
Yeah. That was recently. No, because he started changing the music, and then all of a sudden all the lyrics started disappearing. So I was writing the lyrics like right then. I was like, oh, I've got the greatest lyrics in the world. I'm writing them down. And then he started playing one of our regular songs, and in my mind started hearing the Abide lyrics. I was like, no, my lyrics are going away.
And it came back. That's how it works out. So
I was all, thanks. You can do whatever you want now.
It's kind of inspired. I don't know if that's the right word, but by something I'm playing.
But you're my muse.
So you're my muse too. It all works out. So that's how she gets. That's how a song kind of gets started. Then we'll do the iPod thing that we described to you. And then we'll kind of massage it into life slowly and eventually get it recorded. Yeah. That's the kind of quick version. It encompasses pretty much the whole process.
He was mad all through Windblown Kids, because we had never worked on an album before, and our first album, it was like totally new process, because for, how many years did you make music before I knew you?
I don't know, my whole life.
He had always made the entire song all the way before he tried to get a vocalist involved.
Right.
So here, all of a sudden, I was totally screwing up his whole method. You know, he's like, he's just farting around, as he was thinking, and I'm like, let's make a song. He's like, but I'm just farting around. So we fought a lot, I think, during Windblown Kids. Like, I don't know if I want this one to be a song. I'm like, come on, it's good, you know.
But now it's kind of cool.
But now it's totally
good. When I start recording the song, instead of, like, completing and putting down every last instrument, I'll leave it kind of sparse. So I can get her to sing and put her, like, her singing's like a whole big chunk of the mood, like a major part of it. So then I'll record her vocals, sometimes just a scratch, sometimes a little thing. And then I'll vibe off that, just kind of play off what she's doing, accent some of her notes, or just expand on the mood she lays down. So it's interactive.
I think it's way better this way.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing better now than when we were first writing songs. It was like a hybrid of the way he used to write songs and the way we were becoming the right song. So sometimes he would get the song completed to such a point where, like, it dictated the mood of how I should sing. But now, like, the way that I sing dictates more what kind of mood he adds
to the song. It's more interactive. It's more like a band with, like, real people, like, many people interacting, you know, so it sounds more human, I say, more organic.
I don't think people will any longer think of us as an electronica band, because we're so moving, even though we're using the same exact tools, and, you know, the
same production techniques, but still the end result is more human sounding than ever.
It sounds way more like a band.
Yeah, it sounds like a band. I'm sure you put on a record, it sounds like a band. You wouldn't think, it's just two people in a studio.
Yeah.
But when you go to record a demo, you know, you want to have that absolute control, and now it sounds more like a force, a collusion of nature, you know, where you have these two kinds of things that are happening, and so, you know, you kind of prepare for the storm, and then you're the storm. But I like to, now, when Andrew was describing it, so you record, like, kind of a bass set of tracks, and then some vocal on top of that,
and then
it seems like then like, the real fun part can begin, because now you're talking, I mean, I kind of equate that with, like, putting the Christmas tree up.
That's a good
and
way
that,
to look
and now you kind of, like, get to put the ornaments on.
Yeah, that's
the whole thing,
totally,
the main thing
totally
defined already, the mood of the song and all that, the feel of the song, and then I just come in and put
the
ices in.
Totally ices it. Ices all over that bad boy. Yeah, because then he knows, like, where to put the little tinkling piano. Oh, that would be nice here. Or, like, oh, I could squeeze a little extra guitar riff
that's
over
really,
here.
I think some experience helps on my end, having some judgment, like knowing how much to ice and when to back off. You know, it's really easy to overdo it and
try
to do just the right amount.
Okay, that was a very special track from Love Spiral's Habitual. And so what I did is I took the live track, I took the release track, and then I took the demo track, and then I flipped it around and then gave you the demo track first, the release track second, and then the live track to end there. So you get a full spectrum of the Love Spiral's experience in one single track. Where else can you get that? Where else can you find something like that? I will tell you, come to Jason Knows, you will find what you did not expect to find anywhere you can find it. All right. Okay. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to Jason Knows episode 24. It's been a really special episode, and I really appreciate everybody taking the time to listen, taking the time to give me feedback, taking the time to go to the Jason Knows store, taking time to go to the discussion board, taking time to go to the if you go to jasonknows.com, if your name is in a song, I would appreciate it if you went out there right now and wrote what that is, because I think everybody's name should be in song, and if we can find out the people whose names aren't in song,
we'll be up and be able to start writing songs about those people. Next week on Jason Knows, we're going to be continuing our plastic parachute contest where we'll be giving away the plastic parachute release that's out right now. And then we're also going to be having a special interview with Mo Dog Darlin. So come back, listen to the Jason Knows podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure that you check us out on iTunes. Make sure you go to jasonknows.com. And thank you guys so much. God bless.